It is time for us to head to the hotline for the first time this week as we bring in our buddy, our pal, our Hollywood guru, Al Harris. Al, how are you today?
Living the dream.
Better than living your nightmares, my man. So I'm glad to hear that things are going well. Let's start with the box office. Lion King, a winner once again. However, everybody was really excited about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a Tarantino flick. Boy, I've heard a lot of good things about it. I haven't had the opportunity to see it just yet. What are you hearing about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I'm hearing pretty great stuff, actually. A lot of friends who were able to see it this weekend. A lot of people, you know, in the biz. And so far, I've heard really good things. I've heard a lot of people tell me it was one of their 2-3 favorite movies of the year. Some people tell me it's, you know, top 3 Tarantino movie. I'll wait to be the judge of that. But, yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. The reviews have been really great. So I'm actually seeing it today. I was not able to see it over the weekend as it was pretty much sold out throughout L.A. at a lot of the theaters I wanted to go see it at. I was able to get a ticket tonight, so looking forward to it. I heard the cast is amazing. Heard it basically does for the Mansons what, you know, Inglourious Basterds did to the Nazis. And if you had asked me, that has finally trumped Pulp Fiction as my favorite Tarantino movie, and I think his best movie. But Pulp Fiction is a close second. So I'm really excited to see this tonight. And like I said, yeah, I've heard nothing but really good things about it.
Good stuff. Well, I'm excited to see it as well. I ended up seeing The Lion King yesterday. That certainly wasn't bad. You could see why that's still doing extraordinarily well at the box office. But
I'm cutting you off. Let me ask you a question.
Fire away.
Because I saw it last weekend. I thought it was uncomfortable. I don't know if you've heard of the term Uncanny Valley, where basically created characters become so realistic that they're no longer entertainment. It's creepy, and I felt like that movie kind of had that. I thought it was very uncomfortable watching basically lions deliver these lines without any emotion. And like the singing, like, it just to me felt very strange and fake, and I did not enjoy it like I thought I would. It made me very uncomfortable. What did you think?
Well, now that you say that, I can't really go back and unsee what you just mentioned, because you're right. It was weird to see the mouths moving, and you're right. You're seeing a lot of scenes without true emotion, because it's, you know, most of these lines are coming from hyenas, they're coming from lions, and yeah, you know, now that you say that, yeah, that was a little interesting. I thought it was all right. I mean, look, the story is what it is. I don't want to ruin it for anybody that hasn't seen it.
How have you not seen it at this point?
Well,
I don't mean
one.
The live action.
No, no, no,
it's the same movie, isn't it?
I'm not going to give it away. There are a lot of people out there wondering how it might be different.
Scar wins this time? Is that what you're saying?
It's like a scene-for-scene recreation. Okay. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it.
Oh, you're fine.
Well, I mean, I think the expectations would certainly be that, but you never know.
Well,
so,
well, here's the thing, right? Because I saw The Jungle Book, and I really enjoyed that recreation, and I did not feel like the animals were creepy in any way. And maybe it was because, you know, the lead was a kid, but even like the facial movements seemed more, you know, cartoonish, which I think made it more entertaining than like realistic. And you get to a point where, as we mentioned, too realistic makes it really uncomfortable. And that's what we're saying. Like, a lot of these sports video games are getting that way. Like, it's getting kind of creepy. I still want some form of, I want a barrier in between reality and what's being created. And when you get rid of that border, which is kind of what Lion King did, it's just kind of stomach churning in a way.
Okay, that's interesting. I had not really thought of it that way, but you're right. I'm not so sure that the barrier is up anymore. That's an interesting observation. All right, Al, we'll move into some trailers that have dropped recently, and some good, some bad, some were probably in between there. I saw one today about the next Terminator coming out, and it's hard for me to get excited about these. I don't know if I should look at this next Terminator as just another sequel or maybe something we should be excited about. What do you think about this new Terminator?
So I look at it in two ways. I'm not excited for it. I'm not going to get excited for it. But I think if you wanted to get excited for it, you could. There are things about this different than, let's say, the Christian Bale Terminator, or I think there was one in between with Daenerys Targaryen that I just totally forgot existed. And then there was one with the third one, right, with Arnold. But everything since Terminator 2 has been pretty much garbage. So what makes this different, right? Why should you get excited for it if you want to get excited for it? Well, the main thing is that I think, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time James Cameron has any sort of screenwriting credit on a Terminator movie since the second one. I know he had nothing to do with the fourth and fifth. He may have the third, I can't remember. But it's definitely his first time in a while having screenwriting credit by writing basically the story. So that could get you intrigued. It's back to what Cameron really had in mind for the series. And then you add in the fact that Linda Hamilton's back for the first time since Terminator 2, and Arnold's back for the first time since Terminator 3, and who knows, there might be some more surprises along the line. You also have, you know, the lead. I like Mackenzie Davis a lot. I've liked her in most of the things I've seen her in. But the problem was the trailer didn't really get me excited. I didn't really like the villain looked a little too pretty boy for me. The whole concept of like trying to save this girl feels very much like what we just saw with Logan a couple years ago, which was, I thought, almost perfect of a movie. So it doesn't really sound fresh to me, but if you're going to get excited, having Linda Hamilton, having Schwarzenegger back for the first time in 20 years, and having a script written by James Cameron can get you there. I think it's definitely more intriguing than the last two, probably last three. But I think we've all been burned so much by Terminator movies. And I'm also not a huge fan of the series to begin with. I think Terminator 2 was a great action movie. I didn't necessarily think it was a great movie. And I didn't love the first one. So I'm kind of the wrong person to ask. But if you like the series and you love the first two movies, I think you can find a way to get excited for this third one. Sixth one.
I gotcha. I'm a huge fan. Terminator 2, I think, was brilliant. I think it's been living off that for the last, like, five sequels. But
for sure.
This seems sort of like what they did with Halloween here, doesn't it? Where I know that was kind of a retelling of a sequel,
yeah.
And they're bringing back that same cast here.
Yeah, I think so. And that's why, and I think Halloween kind of pretended like most of the Halloweens in between didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that I would assume they're kind of pretending like the last two to maybe three never happened, which is probably the smart move. And that's why, like I said, I think by having Cameron writing the story is pretty intriguing. If you're going to get excited by, like, you know, a credit that isn't like director and actors, that's going to be one of them. So that could speak to something good, but you never know. That guy's been stuck in Avatar land for so long. Who knows if the story's any good? So, yeah, like I said, I haven't seen the last two. I probably will catch this one at least, but I'm just not getting my hopes up.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joins us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Al, I've got to ask you about this show, The Boys, on Amazon Prime. I've heard a lot of great things about this. Haven't had the chance to watch any of the series just yet. An interesting take on the whole superhero theme. Have you had a chance to check this out?
You know, I was planning on it yesterday, and I got sidetracked. So that shows how excited I was for it. But no, I've heard really good things. I actually just talked to a friend of mine who's also in the industry, and she was very much she thought it was a very different take on the superheroes and, like, the moral questions involved with, you know, being a hero and having these superpowers, who's kind of, like, overwatching them, and what if they go, you know, bad. And she thought that moral critique of it was very interesting, and that's what's gotten me excited, is it doesn't feel like a run-of-the-mill superhero thing. It kind of takes the other side, right? It's about superheroes that gain too much power and start to go evil, and then who's there to bring them down, right? And, you know, I think he's kind of a joke to an extent, but I've always enjoyed Carl Urban and everything. I think he, like, doesn't take himself seriously and kind of realizes when he's in something, because he's not like your go-to action hero because a lot of action movie stars in them, and they're always kind of tongue-in-cheek and don't really take him seriously. So having him in that kind of shows what the kind of tone would probably be like. So that's something that I'm definitely on my list, something I probably will watch very recently, but I'm pretty excited to finally watch that.
All right, Al, before we let you go, we've got to get this week's picks to click. And at some point, we'll come back around to talking about Zombieland 2, because I know you're dying to get into that at some point. You were such a huge fan of the first one. But let's work in this week's picks to click.
Yeah, so this week, there's nothing really getting me excited. I was kind of interested in the Mindy Kaling adaptation of Four Weddings and a Funeral, doing like a 10-episode like readaptation of it. But so far, I haven't heard great things. And I've done a little research, and I'm kind of getting excited for a show called Sherman's Showcase, which comes out on Wednesday. Don't know if anyone here is familiar with the show Documentary Now, which is on IFC with Fred Armisen and Bill Hader, where they basically spoof a bunch of old documentary formats and documentary movies. It's a very fun show. And the way Sherman Showcase is being built, it's also an IFC show, is that what Documentary Now did for documentaries, they're doing for the variety television shows of the 70s. And it's got a pretty solid cast. The guys who created it were in charge of the Jimmy Fallon segments, History of Rap, Slow Jam the News, were writers on that show. So it seems like right in their wheelhouse, that kind of thing. The guest list sounds great. Common, Tiffany Haddish, John Legend, Mike Judge, Quincy Jones. It sounds like it could be a lot of fun. That comes out on Wednesday. So I'm actually pretty excited for that. And IFC, low-key, has done some really good stuff. So I think Sherman's Showcase could be pretty solid.
That's a pretty good-looking cast right there. No doubt about it. Good stuff. Well, Al, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us. And let's do this again next week.
Sounds great.
Thank
you guys then.
Thanks, Al. Again, Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.